Our scripture reading this afternoon is found in the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. We'll read the first 16 verses, and that also comprises our text, so I will not reread that portion. Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, ye know that that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests and the scribes and the elders of the people unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. That far we read in God's holy inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, how much do you value Jesus Christ? How much worth does he have in your eyes and in my eyes? There are some who, by God's grace, see that Jesus Christ is worthy of all praise, and they are willing to give of themselves in order to praise him. And that's the example of Mary in our text. There are others who see Jesus as worthy to be followed, but only from an earthly perspective. They follow him, they think he is worthy to be followed because of what they can obtain for themselves. Judas is an example of such a person. And then there are still others who will not even pretend to follow Jesus and who reject him outright because they want nothing to do with him. And for that, we find an example here in the text as well, in the Jewish leaders of that day who went about to kill Jesus and finally succeeded in that. How much do we value Jesus? How much worth does he have in our eyes? Is he so precious that you and I want to give of ourselves to show him the honor that is due? Do we want to show our thankfulness in all of our lives? The events of our text happened just before Jesus went to the cross. They don't follow exactly in chronological order, but if you look at the other accounts, the other gospel accounts, you find that the account of Mary anointing Jesus' feet probably happened on the Friday before the Passion Week. And then the rest of the accounts, the rest of the account of our text happens on and during the Passion Week. Why does Matthew put Mary's account right between the plot of the Jews and then Judas going out to betray Jesus? And I believe the reason is, and we'll examine this a little bit further, but that account of Mary was one of the things that drove Judas to betray Jesus. So there's a connection there. I believe that's the reason why Matthew puts that account where he does. What I want us to think about, beloved, as we look at the text, is the contrast, especially between those two acts. Mary giving a small fortune to buy that box of alabaster ointment, and Judas seeking to get for himself. Mary giving of herself, and Judas seeking to get for himself. There's a great contrast between those two in our text. And then as we look at those two, we'll also look at the disciples who followed Judas' example in criticizing that offering that Mary gave. And there's a illustration of something that we ourselves fall into. Because we have the old man, we are often like the disciples that follow after that example of Judas. So let's look at the text under the theme, the worth of Jesus. Let's first note that worth in Mary's eyes. Secondly, the worth in Judas's eyes. And there we treat the example of the disciples. And then lastly, the worth in our eyes. If you and I, beloved, wanted to show our thankfulness to Jesus Christ for all of his goodness to us, how would we do it? Mary gives us an example, one example of a myriad of ways in which we might show our thankfulness. Of course, now we don't have Jesus Christ with us physically, but gives an example of showing her thankfulness for what Jesus had done. Saturday evening, the day before Jesus' royal entry into Jerusalem, or perhaps Friday evening, one of those days, Simon the leper held a feast in his house. He's called Simon the leper, not because he is a leper at this time, because if he still was a leper, he could not have had that feast in his house. But he is called Simon the leper probably because he once was a leper. And it's likely that Jesus had healed him from his leprosy. And now he wants to show forth his thankfulness for what Jesus had done for him, his thankfulness for being healed from his leprosy. So he, together with Lazarus, calls for a feast. Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead, also wanted to show forth his thankfulness for what Jesus had done for him. And Mary and Martha, sisters of Lazarus, they too wanted to show their thankfulness for what Jesus had done for them. So they called Jesus, along with his 12 disciples, to this feast. Mary shows up to this feast determined to show her thankfulness. And the text tells us how she had decided to bring praise to Jesus. She purchased an alabaster box. Alabaster was precious in itself. That was what the box was made up of. And then inside that alabaster box was a very precious ointment made from the roots of the spikenard plant. We're told from looking at the other gospel accounts that this ointment could have been sold for 300 pence or 300 denarius, which equals almost a whole year's worth of wages, 300 days' worth of wages for the common, ordinary worker. And now you can imagine Mary taking this precious ointment, and she begins to pour it on Jesus' head. She anointed his head, and then she anointed his feet with that same ointment, because she wanted to give to Jesus the highest honor that she knew how to give to him. And she was willing to spend a great amount. We don't know all the thoughts that went through Mary's mind before she started this act of adoring her Savior. But she wanted to make, no doubt, wanted to make as strong a statement as she could concerning her love and devotion to her Savior, but even more, wanting to make a statement of how worthy Jesus was of honor and praise. Did she understand everything about what was coming in that week that followed, did she know that Jesus would be nailed to a cross in that coming week? Or what kind of death he would suffer? There's debate about that. Whether she understood, well, Jesus had said to his disciples he was going to his death. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. She knew that Jesus was going to die. But maybe she was like the other disciples who, when Jesus died, were caught completely by surprise. We don't know everything that Mary understood. But we do know this. Jesus declared, "She did it for my burial." Did she do it purposely, knowing he was going to be buried? Or did she do it unknowingly for his burial? Whatever the case may be, Jesus accepted it as her display of love, a proper and appropriate preparation for his burial. Whatever was going through her mind, we can be sure she wanted to declare how worthy Jesus was to be honored. And now we might ask, why? Why did Mary think that Jesus was so worthy of honor? Well, now think back. Mary must have seen that Jesus was her personal Savior. Mary had wanted, on previous occasions, she wanted to sit at Jesus' feet to hear his words. Martha, on the other hand, remember, wanted to busy herself. But Mary wanted to sit at his feet to hear those glorious words that Jesus spoke. Mary had come to know that Jesus was the resurrection and the life. Children, remember that Mary was there when Jesus declared that, "I am the resurrection and the life." And then Jesus proceeded to call forth Lazarus out of the grave. Mary saw that and knew Jesus as the resurrection and the life. And then she knew that this Jesus would certainly raise her body up on the last day, that he had that power. She knew that Jesus was her Savior. Even though she herself was an unworthy sinner, she knew that Jesus was the Savior from sin. And therefore that he was worthy of all praise and honor and glory. She wanted to give him that praise, knowing Jesus as a merciful Savior. She poured that ointment upon him. She didn't have to say anything. Her actions said everything about what honor she wanted to bestow on her Savior. She gave her utmost to show her thankfulness to Jesus Christ. That kind of thankfulness, beloved, only arises in the hearts of those who have been saved by grace. Those who have been saved from sin and death. She already knew the reality of salvation And she gives to us an example of grateful devotion to her Savior. It's striking that Mary was determined to give honor to her Savior. And when she gave that honor to her Savior, she was not calculating in her mind. She wasn't thinking to herself, now if I give this precious ointment and pour it on Jesus' head, then I'm going to get something in return. Mary was not thinking that way. She was not making a calculation that if I give this much, then I will get some honor from Jesus, and everybody will recognize me for the great person that I am. That's not her calculation at all. That's not what she is thinking. Just the opposite. If she is making a calculation in her heart, she is thinking to herself, what a glorious Savior. How worthy is Jesus of all the honor that I can give to Him? And what can I give to Him to show Him the honor that is due? If she's making a calculation, she's making the calculation from how worthy is Jesus to be praised. What's so striking is that in giving the honor that she believes that Jesus is worthy of, Jesus turns it around and He gives honor to Mary. She was not seeking honor for herself. She was not seeking recognition from others. But Jesus gives her a certain honor. Look at verse 13. Jesus solemnly promises, He says, verily, speaking to His disciples, verily I say unto you. And then what does He promise? What does He declare to His disciples? He says, wherever this joyful gospel is declared, what she has done will be remembered. There shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. She would be given a gracious reward. She was not seeking that reward. She wasn't thinking, what boxes do I have to check so that I can get something from Jesus? But Jesus declares, she will be honored. There will be a memorial of her. And there's a principle there. And it's the principle of gracious rewards. All those who seek to honor God and who seek to honor Jesus Christ, God will honor them. And we don't go, and we mustn't go around making any kind of calculations. What do I have to give? What boxes do I have to check? But rather, as Mary did, the calculation that we ought to be doing is, how worthy is our God of honor? How worthy is Jesus Christ of all honor? And how can I show Him that honor? And those who honor God will be honored. Jesus himself says that. John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We're not sitting there keeping score in our lifetime. We ought not to be thinking to ourselves, all these things that I have done for the church, all these things that I have done for Jesus Christ, and where is my honor? That's not the way. That wasn't the way that Mary calculated things, and that's not the way we ought to calculate things. But just the other way around. How worthy of all our praise is God and Jesus Christ. That's the way Mary approached it. Sadly, we don't always recognize the good that others do for Christ's sake. And often we can end up being just like the disciples. It's striking. Striking that Mary would do such a wonderful act of praise, and the disciples following Judas, we'll get to Judas in a moment, but the disciples could get so upset about this act of love. That's verse 8. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose was this waste? It would be one thing, and this would be bad enough, if in their hearts they were thinking that to themselves. Thinking, watching Mary pour that ointment on Jesus and criticizing her in their hearts, that would be bad enough. But they made it public. They were saying it among themselves. Thinking to themselves, what a waste. Why throw out this precious ointment? We could have sold that ointment and given the money to the poor. They made their harsh criticism public. Maybe even Mary herself heard it. And they made it sound pious too. We could have sold it and given that money to the poor. They themselves were only thinking about, as they looked at Mary, they presumed that she lacked judgment. What was she thinking? And by saying this could have been sold and given to the poor to show our love to the poor, they were actually accusing Mary of a lack of love for the poor. And all the while accusing Mary of a lack of love, they themselves were guilty of a lack of love. Criticizing a fellow saint. Do we ever do the same things, beloved? Have you or I ever criticized a fellow saint? Maybe a bit self-righteously, thinking to ourselves, what are they thinking? And thinking we ourselves have it all straight. We have to be careful that we don't fall into the same trap as the disciples. So easy to judge the actions of others uncharitably. So easy to take what might even be an act of love, and we can turn it around in our minds and accuse that very person of a lack of love. We see real or imagined faults in others. Maybe they are real. We take that real fault and then we magnify it way out of proportion and criticize that. And we forget about the grace of God in that fellow brother or sister. Now, this happened at the feast, but this very same thing, beloved, can happen in our marriages, where we magnify the fault of our spouses and we fail to see the grace of God working in them. Or it can happen in the church. We need to remember that we ourselves are sinners saved by grace. And be careful that we don't wrongly criticize others, even in the church world, thinking we ourselves have it all straight, and then we can criticize other churches. We can be like the disciples. Thinking we ourselves are so wise and righteous, and become indignant at others, all under the cloak of piety. Well, when we see that, we need to repent. The disciples illustrate the principle that we all have the old man of sin. The disciples manifested their old man of sin. But it's striking, when they criticized Mary, they were following Judas. That's made evident from the other gospel accounts. John chapter 12 is one of the other accounts of this occasion. John chapter 12, verse 4, we read this. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the bag and bare what was put therein. Judas is singled out by the Apostle John as the instigator. It's clear that Judas is the one who started the criticism. And then the disciples followed along. And that's striking. And it may happen in the church where there are Judases who begin such a criticism, and then we ourselves can follow along. Or it can happen not just in the church, it can happen in the on the playground at school, where there can be someone who bullies another child, and then everyone else follows along. We can all fall into the same pattern. How easily we are influenced by those around us. The Israelites influenced by the mixed multitude when they came out of Egypt. And here, the disciples influenced by Judas. Why was Judas so indignant? If we had been there, it's likely we would have responded just like the other disciples. We wouldn't have thought to ourselves that Judas was being a hypocrite. But nevertheless, we know from the history of the Gospels that Judas was indeed a hypocrite. Everything that Judas was doing was to serve himself. Judas, who was using his position of authority in order to line his own pockets, that's the example of Judas. And John tells us that when he saw that ointment being poured out, he was upset simply because he knew that if that had been sold and the money put in the bag, then he himself could have helped himself to that money. Judas was serving himself. Thankfully, Jesus came to Mary's aid when Judas and all of the rest of the disciples ganged up on Mary, as it were. Jesus came to her rescue. Matthew 26, verse 10, When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman?" He's not just speaking to Judas, he's speaking to all the disciples. "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me." And then John's gospel adds that rebuke, "Let her alone." That's also instructive. Jesus refused to let Mary be mistreated. He stood up for one of the oppressed and rebuked all the disciples for the way they were criticizing her. But now there's a connection. There's a connection between this offering of Mary and Judas going to betray Jesus, going to the chief priests. And the connection, I believe, is this. Those who are especially selfish, and those who are especially proud, they especially hate being rebuked. And after the disciples were rebuked, Then we read in verse 14, Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas left, being rebuked. He went out to see what he could still get for himself. And especially his greed drove him to betray Jesus. The whole of Judas's following Jesus from the very beginning was a hypocritical following of Jesus. What is in it for me? When and if Jesus becomes a king, Judas is probably that whole time thinking to himself, when he becomes a great earthly king, what is in it for me? That was the case when he saw that precious spikenard ointment being poured out. What was in it for me? Now I am not going to benefit from that. And so when he goes to the Jewish rulers, what will ye give me? How much did they pay Judas? 30 pieces of silver. Exodus 21 verse 32 tells us that 30 pieces of silver was the price of a common slave. Whether or not the Jews actually were thinking of that price, maybe they were, and in their hatred of Jesus says, maybe they said, we will pay 30 pieces of silver for you to betray Jesus. They offered that exact amount, maybe in contempt of Jesus. Judas goes, what's in it for me? And then he goes back and joins the disciples, continuing his hypocrisy, pretending that everything was just as it always has been, pretending himself to be a disciple, calculating what's in it for me. What do I have to do to get something for myself, some earthly benefit? Judas made himself look religious, made himself look like a servant. But it was all self-serving. What a contrast between Judas and Mary. Mary was all about, what can I give? Judas was all about, what can I get as regards earthly benefits? How can I enrich myself? And the sad thing is that Judas, in betraying Jesus for a mere 30 pieces of silver, made himself truly miserable. Miserable already in this life, but ultimately he was miserable in hell What misery belonged to Judas. Mary and Judas give to us two vastly different ways of measuring the worth of Jesus. So what about us? When we think of the worth of Jesus, are we thinking to ourselves, what can I give for all that Jesus Christ has done for me? Or are we calculating, what do I have to give in order to get out of religion what I want to get out of religion? Is Jesus precious to us because of his gracious salvation, or is Jesus precious to us because of what we can get for ourselves in earthly returns? There are many, beloved, today who practice a self-serving religion. And their question is not, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? Their question is not, what can I give in order to give honor to my God? How can I show forth my thankfulness for all that he has done for me? That's not the question of many. But the question is, how much am I getting in return? There's that calculation. What's in it for me? What's striking about the Jewish leaders is that they also had a certain calculation. Those Jewish leaders in the church world in that day, when they thought about Jesus, all they were thinking about is, how does Jesus impact the bottom line? And they saw that Jesus was getting in the way of their own earthly, selfish religion. That's why they wanted to kill him. Verse 4 of the text, they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. The truth of the matter is, beloved, you and I would never be like Mary if God had left us to ourselves. We would only be like the Jewish leaders and reject Jesus altogether, or we would be like Judas, simply following Jesus because of what's in it for us as regards earthly benefits. If God had left us to ourselves, we would never value Jesus as Mary valued Jesus. But God is gracious, and he allowed himself, Jesus allowed himself to be betrayed by Judas. No, he didn't simply allow himself, he set himself up. He knew this was the way that God had ordained for him, and he set himself to go to Jerusalem, and he set himself to go all the way to the cross in order to purchase for you and for me our salvation. He went to the cross and suffered those horrible torments in order so that you and I could have grace, so that we could be saved. We who by nature are selfish and proud and greedy, who by nature are like those Jewish leaders and by nature are like Judas, Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for sinners like that. He died so that you and I could give ourselves in thankfulness to show to Him all the honor that is due. How much is Jesus worthy of praise in your eyes and in my eyes? Do you want to, and do I want to, give Him the praise of which He is worthy? Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we give Thee thanks for that great sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for us. But for that grace that is ours in Christ Jesus, we would be only as Judas, and we would be only as the Jewish leaders. But Thou art gracious. We thank Thee, Father, for that grace. We pray where we have been as the disciples, forgive us. Where we have wrongly interpreted the love of others, forgive us. And give to us grace that we may show forth Thy praises in all of our lives. We ask this, not because we are worthy, but in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.